I can do this all day.
Yeah, I know.
Something tells me we're not getting the band back together.
What do you mean, no?
Way to go, Tic Tac!
He's confused. He doesn't know who he is.
Wakanda forever!
You're all not worthy.
Dance off, bro!
This moron is giving me everything.
I will be reinstituting Prima Nocta.
Man, what a lie. Right?
Prima Nocta.
Prima Nocta.
We learned what that was.
Chances are not many people even know what Prima Nocta is. It's a reference from Braveheart.
Yes, I remember.
Yes.
So
yes, this is the Capes and Hammers podcast extravaganza, episode number 6, coming to you from the Big Dot compound here in Middle Tennessee, Spring Hill to be precise. We've got CJ to my left, Gray right in front of me. This is a podcast that if you're kind of a surface-level fan of the whole MCU, DCU, all the comic book movies that have been coming out for the past several years, like myself, and I guess I would say CJ as well, this is a good podcast for you. Gray is kind of like our walking encyclopedia in terms of knowing all the comic references.
The right? All-knowing.
That yeah. Sounds like Braveheart at the end there.
You're kind of like the geek that has like shiny object syndrome. Squirrel!
Just bringing it full circle. We referenced Braveheart. I had to cap it off.
We have an audience member in here, Sydney, sitting to my extreme left. She's in the background.
Woo!
If you're watching this. This is a video and audio podcast, so check us out, capesandhammers.com. Today, we're going to be talking about a movie that I finally got around to watching this week.
My God.
Right?
If I remember it now. It's
you remember
so long.
It. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Right?
Is that... How do you pronounce it, Gray?
I think so.
Shang...
My encyclopedia.
In the movie...
Most people mispronounce it as Shang or Sheng, but it's actually Shang.
How's it go? How's it go?
I can't say it.
Can you slurp your coffee while you're saying that, too?
It's just been pointed out to me and won't happen anymore.
We have fans that like it when you drink your coffee. If you haven't checked out the first couple of episodes, we've got 5 episodes published so far, and we've been hearing feedback. Not only is it people are enjoying the show, but they really like it when we drink drinks on the show. So, hey, you know, give them what they want.
We'll have to keep doing it.
So, Shang-Chi, what's the deal? I've never heard of this character up
what's
until
the deal
movie.
With? What's the deal with what?
I've as a surface level fan, I've never heard of this character before. So
he's not one of the most popular.
He's not?
Same.
No.
Dude, neither was Iron Man when he came out, though.
Well, but he was used by Marvel more than Shang-Chi ever was.
Right.
Shang-Chi is kind of like Bruce Lee with superpowers.
Master Pretty much. Crew. There are also dogs in the studio today. In case you're hearing that in the background, you hear
this
some
This is panting. Capes and this is Hammers.
Capes and Hammers, the dogs. They're nice. Kind of moseying around, pooping and peeing on the floor, making it interesting. So, Shang-Chi, tell us the background on that, Gray.
You
know,
oh, me? The,
yeah, because you know him. I
never read Shang-Chi, but I know of him from crossover events.
All I can say from the movie is that very likable character, a lot of fun.
Good
you
actor.
Know, has that had good actors, same kind
actor.
Of, yeah, same kind of nuances that Iron Man had in a way that it was just instantly likable. I like this guy. I could see him being a pretty big part of whatever's coming next.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
So is that what...
Bruce Lee in there too, right?
A little bit of Bruce Lee?
Yeah. That's what...
Or Ip Man?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ip Man.
Ip Man.
So earlier this week, we were not only talking about a little bit about Shang-Chi, but also about protagonists and antagonists in movies.
Yeah.
And we had a really spirited conversation.
Let's get into that.
Really? You want to talk about that instead of Shang-Chi?
Anytime. We can take them together.
Was Shang-Chi the protagonist or the antagonist?
So, I'm going to sound like a know-it-all on all these episodes.
That's what you normally sound like anyway.
Okay, well.
Boom!
That's why
we have issues, Gray. That's why we have issues.
The protagonist is the main character who the story follows.
Right.
And the antagonist is the character or entity that conflicts with the character's objective.
He's the
so
one in
he
the
doesn't
way.
Have to even be another character.
I feel like I'm in English class again.
It's narratology. Yeah.
It's what?
Narratology.
Narratology? Is that a thing?
It's the study of narrative structure.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you know this stuff?
I took a class on it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Yeah. So basically, you know, hey, the title character is Shang-Chi.
Right.
And the funny thing that you made an interesting correlation to protagonist versus antagonist was Infinity War, Avengers Infinity War. You're saying that Thanos was the protagonist in that movie.
Yeah, that's been pointed out before. I think that's...
But it's Avengers Infinity War. I think Infinity
you could convince... You, it's pretty convincing that he could be the protagonist.
But, I mean, the whole title characters are the Avengers in that movie.
It's true. It is the title. But yeah.
It's up for debate.
I think we follow Thanos. Yeah. We follow Thanos in his quest.
Right.
And the Avengers, you could view as the antagonist because they hinder Thanos on his way to his goal.
Right.
And he believes himself to be virtuous. It's a noble quest from his, in his mind.
Right. You know, the more the world goes on these days, the more virtuous I kind of agree with him.
Really?
Yeah.
Explain your allegiance to Thanos.
No. No.
And what are the children of what? What are his followers called?
Children of Thanos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's why a, did you become a child of Thanos?
He's a cult leader.
He is.
Essentially.
He is. He has his own.
He's the Gwen Shamblin of the galaxy. I'm sorry. I had to make that reference.
Okay.
If you've seen the Netflix special with Gwen Shamblin, the reverend, I guess. I guess she's a reverend or a pastor at the Remnant in Brentwood. The Remnant. But so Thanos, yeah, I do kind of agree, you know, as...
Why do you both sympathize with him? Because CJ's expressed that as well.
Because, I mean, you know, it's we could shake off a few people and the world would be probably a much better place.
What kind of people would we...
At random.
...would go first?
Was it rich and poor alike?
What about the people
very
who
humane.
Walk backwards in supermarkets through the entryway? And the people who enter through the exits, I think they should be the first to go.
You think so?
I think so.
How about people who don't, who use the left lane for not passing?
I think the people who...
Right. Get out of that left lane.
Yeah.
And semi-truck drivers should not be allowed at all in the left lane.
Ever?
Ever. Just stay in the right lane.
Wow. Strong opinions from CJ.
Yeah.
Especially if Tom Holland is driving the semi.
Right.
Tom Holland isn't allowed in the left lane whatsoever.
So getting back to our original topic, that's the reason why, even though I know perfectly why we're going through what we're going through in this day and age, it's, you know, would be nice, you know, take it from 7
depopulation
billion down to 3 billion.
Depopulation.
You know? Yeah, I mean, we might be a little full on the planet, you know. A lot of people not really getting along. And
it's what the space?
Division. Maybe that's why Thanos
did it.
Because
there's too many people?
So many opinions. Maybe it's the social media. People just need to shut up.
What do you think would have happened if Thanos had snapped his finger and he had disappeared as one of the half that did vanish?
That's a very good... I mean, I'm sure he had control over that.
Like if he had immediately... Oh, you think he willed himself to stay?
Yeah. Everybody...
I would think...
Remember, because Doctor Strange said, spare Tony's life. Mm-hmm. So in the randomness, he had to consciously be like, okay, well, I'm going to save Tony and, of course, myself, right?
I don't know.
Well, in that moment, he said, spare his life, because he was about to kill Tony on Titan.
I took it as
spare his
forever.
Life when you snap, if you accomplish, if you succeed.
Now and forever.
Ooh,
yeah.
That never crossed my mind. That's an interesting observation.
That would mean that somebody took his place, meaning there was someone out there who wouldn't have been snapped away, but who was, if he spared Tony, to make it half.
But also in the moment,
balance.
He was going to kill Tony.
So you think that Thanos. Was a temporary...
That was probably... It might have had other intents behind it. Hey, spare him and all things you're about to do. But I think ultimately it was basically in that moment. Just, yeah, leave him.
Perhaps.
I'll give you the stone if you leave him alone.
Perhaps.
Sure.
But I mean, you know, Thanos was always one to go back on his word, though, too. So, but also Doctor Strange knew what the outcome was. So.
When does he go back on his word?
When he went to Nidavellir.
Say that again?
Nidavellir.
One more time?
Nidavellir. That's a made-up word. All words.
All
are made
words
up.
Are made up. Dang it.
He goes to Nidavellir. He meets. They see Eitri, who has his hands molded in lead,
right
in the metal.
Right.
And he says, you know, he killed all of the dwarves on the rig except for him.
Right.
That's not, you know,
he wouldn't if he made him what he wanted,
right.
Which was the gauntlet.
He killed him anyway, yeah. So he went back on his word.
Yeah. Why did he kill them?
So no one else, because he can.
So no one else
could
make another one.
Replicate
it. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I forgot that detail. That's true.
Yeah. Mm. So he lied.
Good point.
Ooh, that's another thing that just popped up. Oh my gosh! As we're talking, we're having a little
What's
bit
that?
Of a revelation here.
Tell me.
Revelation. Revelation.
Revelation.
Yeah. Revelation. He's supposed to not be good at lying.
Oh, yeah, because that's
what So he lied to Eitri.
Maybe he changed. Did Gamora say that? Maybe he changed his mind.
My father is a lot of things, but he's not a liar. Was it Gamora?
Right.
Who said
We're talking about everything but Shang-Chi right now. This is funny.
It is Gamora.
Okay.
That's a creep. That's a
Why I asked Jim, when did he go back on his word? Because I don't. I remember him being consistent, even though what he was doing isn't very likely.
I can't believe nobody's picked that out yet. I'm going to do a Kelsey Grammer falling off the stage.
Do it again.
Wow. That deserves a wow. What do you guys think about that? Comment below and let us know. Was Thanos lying? When he told Eitri I would spare most of the people on the rig, and he ended up killing most of them except for him.
Maybe they waged war on him after they built the gauntlet. Maybe they turned on him.
That wasn't mentioned.
He defended himself.
But the way Eitri says it, he says, look, if I made him the gauntlet, he said he would leave us alone. So I made him the gauntlet thinking that we would be spared, but he ended up killing everybody anyway. So Thanos.
I wonder why he wouldn't cut his hands off. Why would he?
That I didn't really get. Well, I guess if he left him alive, your hand, your life is yours.
He could
use
him again too if he needed. If the gauntlet was destroyed and he needed someone to rebuild it,
right?
And he left him with his hands, he could always go back,
right? That's interesting. Very interesting. A lot of the getting back to Shang-Chi, we have a lot of rabbit holes and tangents going on right now. Getting back to Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Ten Rings plays a role in the Iron Man movies.
Yeah.
And what else?
The Mandarin.
The Mandarin, which is funny to see how, Trevor showed up in that movie.
Omanakta.
Spoilers if you haven't seen the movie yet.
Yeah, I don't think that was necessary at all. I mean,
it was comic relief.
What the hell does he have to do with anything, though?
Because he was portraying the Mandarin, and I think it actually showed a bit of grace on the part of the real Mandarin, of the father, to spare Trevor's life. Because if there's a documentary on Netflix or Disney Plus about Trevor in jail talking about his time playing the Mandarin. Yeah. And at the end of that documentary, he gets actually extracted from the prison by presumably the real Mandarin, the father of
All Hail
Shang
the King. Isn't that the name, the title?
Yes,
of the,
yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
That's pretty old, though. That came out a long time ago.
Did it?
Yeah, it's been out for years.
I didn't see that until now because it all of a sudden resurfaced on Disney.
I think that came out, Iron Man 3 came out in 2013.
Yeah.
So I think it came out
2013,
immediately afterward.
Yeah, but I mean, I just saw it and watched it maybe 2 months ago.
Okay,
for the first time, so I'm going, oh, that's kind of interesting. But it's timely that it resurfaced all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, you know? Sure, because now you know who walks in the room.
Right.
I think the whole Mandarin thing is a mess, though. I mean,
but he says that
Guy Pierce
didn't. It was a made up name. He mentioned it was a made up name. That's not even his one. That's one of my names that I was known by.
Because he's an actor and has many hats?
No, the father. Shang-Chi's father. The real Mandarin, quote-unquote.
Mm. He's probably had hundreds of names if he's been alive for...
1,000 years.
1,000 years? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting. Hmm. And a lot of revelations we're having here, aren't we?
I thought he was...
Is Thanos a liar?
Oh, Trevor?
Yeah, I thought it was...
Yeah, funny. I mean, I love... Otherwise, I think Ben Kingsley's always it would great have been to watch.
As funny.
Yeah. But I don't think he had any... If you're going by narratology... I don't think he had any relevance to the story.
Sure.
It was just fun. It was just to squeeze in another character.
Well, no, he was translating Morris's
What about the chick
communication?
Who did nothing?
The what?
The chick who did nothing.
What about the fluffy chair pillow
Morris.
Disney sidekick character? Yeah. Morris?
What is that? It doesn't have a face.
What the hell was that? That was to sell toys.
Yeah, but it's still, it was a device.
Nice. Yeah, totally.
Right?
That's it. Just make another little stuffed animal for
your kid. Put something in there that we can sell, toys, fluffy stuffed animals.
But you
legs,
can't say it didn't have
eyes.
A purpose.
It had no purpose.
If it totally had a purpose.
Question this.
What?
If you extract Ben Kingsley's character and the pillow thing from the story, what is lost?
5 minutes of the movie.
But
often do they appear? How much screen time does
it take? But it led them to the village.
And there was no other way to do that except to include that character and that pillow chair thing.
Well, it's probably the easiest way. I mean, you're going to find something, some sort of device to make it happen. It might as well have some comic relief that's relevant to the story, and Ben Kingsley was.
I don't think he was relevant to the story. It could have been anyone in that cell.
It could have been. But, I mean, again, it showed you the fact that the Mandarin, quote, the real guy, I can't even remember his name, showed mercy on this actor who portrayed him.
Ignorantly,
right.
Right.
So, yeah, it had a lot of causality towards an empathy that this guy showed towards the actor who he could have just tossed aside and killed. So, I mean, because that's the thing. That was the interesting thing about that movie was the father.
Yeah,
he was a tyrant in most of his life until he met the love of his life, who changed his life. And then all of his, because, I mean, the dude had a kind face. He didn't look like a tyrant.
Right.
You know, and that was really interesting to me, where it's like, okay, this is obviously the big bad guy. He's certainly confused about what's going on. He's in mourning over the loss of his wife, obviously, and for very good reason. You know, his family is in disarray and they're in all different parts of the world. They kind of want nothing to do with him. So, yeah, you kind of felt bad for the guy.
Well, he isn't a bad guy.
Sympathy for him and was likable.
Right. And that's,
what's that?
That goes back to sort of what CJ just said, that he was likable, back to the best Marvel antagonists aren't. If there is something the MCU does really well, it takes villains from the comics. In the comics, you know, back when they were created, most of them were depicted and strictly had to be bad all the time.
Right.
Like Magneto, Doctor Doom, Loki, they couldn't do anything virtuous. There was no complexity.
Yeah.
It was just, what is their superpower and what do they want to do that's so bad against our hero?
But to be fair, in the movies, they've had some pretty obvious villains that you just didn't like.
Abomination.
Whiplash. You know, what's his name from AIM?
AIM.
AIM.
MODOK?
No, the guy who created the serum in Iron Man 3. The guy behind Mandarin.
Guy Pierce?
Guy Pierce's character.
Yeah.
You know his name?
Have other Aldrich Killian.
Aldrich Killian, yes, thank you.
But you have
he was not likable at all.
Ultron, obviously Thanos, probably more than anyone else.
Thanos, you could actually find yourself to like.
With.
Yes,
and that's the way it ought to be. You have
Ultron. You didn't sympathize. Ultron was an enemy.
Civil War is the best example, I think.
Right,
because Civil War, both Iron Man is the antagonist
being
of Civil War.
Both ways. Who do I like?
Yeah.
Who do I don't like?
Who do I agree with is the question.
Yeah,
because you like Cap and Tony.
That was Team Edward or Team Jacob.
So who's the protagonist in that movie?
Captain America. We follow him.
It's his movie. It's his story.
It's his title.
It's his story. It's not just the title, though. We follow it from his
If it were Iron Man 4, then Tony would be the protagonist.
Yeah.
I could see that.
And in the comics, it's both ways. The comic, the Marvel Civil War, is shown from both perspectives.
You can see both sides. Anybody who has a good mind would say, I get what you're saying, and I get what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Tony's guilt-ridden after the Sokovia accident, and when that woman comes up and says that you murdered my son, okay, we can empathize with Tony. He's doing this from a spot in his heart that he believes he's redeeming himself.
And he also, he's taking it upon himself that he wants to put a suit of armor around the world.
Right. And he wants to be responsible for once.
Mm-hmm.
He never has been. Captain America is resisting something.
Right.
But he's our hero. Tony is the antagonist.
Right.
Just because they have different opinions that collide.
But as far as villains in the movie, I mean, that movie really didn't have a villain other than, why can't I think of names to Zemo? Thank you.
But that's the thing.
Even
Tony
then,
was, in a sense.
Nah, not really.
He was the antagonist.
He was, but he wasn't.
Even though he was doing right and Captain America was the one.
Yeah.
That's my whole point, though, is you don't... No story requires a villain. Every story requires an antagonist. Not every story has a villain. Every story has an antagonist.
Well, you have a hero, you know, good and bad.
What about the movie Joker?
I didn't watch it.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Oh, wow.
I have no desire to watch it.
Why?
It's DC. I'm biased. I know it's Capes and Hammers, and we got to be all things.
You're that discriminatory?
I am.
Only because it's DC? Oh, my God, Jim.
Dude...
Shut it down.
Have you watched The Dark Knight?
DC to me stands for douche chill. Because, I mean, that's the movies give me douche chills.
Well, the movies don't depict how awesome the characters are.
Their movies are horribly made.
Their movies are just depressing and flat and square.
Really, they are.
But
they
except
really
for
are.
The Dark Knight trilogy. Right?
I tried to go back and watch those. They don't take me in like the Marvel movies.
Really?
No.
I would take The Dark Knight trilogy over all of Marvel.
With Christian Bale?
Yeah. Yeah, Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy. Yeah. I would take any of those three above
the whole MCU saga. What about Michael Keaton?
in as Batman.
You want to get crazy? I'll get crazy. Let's get nuts. This town needs an enema.
What about Christopher Reeves?
Well, again, but you're talking about an arc of superherodom that follows along with the pendulum theory that I have, that I talk about a lot.
Right.
Okay, you had a lot of bright and shiny, colorful superheroes back in the 60s and 70s for a reason.
You believe a man can fly.
That okay, for a Superman. Reason. Yeah, and that's why the movie was so big.
Yeah.
And then Marlon Brando playing Kal-El, or Jor-El.
Which is awesome, Jor-El. Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, the big bad in those movies was, what was the big bad? Luther. It was Lex Luthor, yeah, and an earthquake.
Right.
Yeah.
And kryptonite.
And kryptonite.
And Lois Lane falling.
You know what's funny is that John here, our COO, and one of my business partners, John Warner, he makes an observation about Frozen 2, which I watched the other night. What that's a it? That's a fun movie to what discuss.
I've only
Frozen
seen the first 2. One.
You've never seen Frozen 2?
I didn't know there was a first one.
There's no villain in that movie.
At all.
None.
What's the antagonist?
Snow?
Her spirit.
The frozenness?
What is the antagonist? Do we know? It was her story. It was a continuation of her origin story in a way. Yeah.
Who, Elsa?
Yeah. Yep. The antagonist is nature.
Which is possible. That's the villain in every disaster movie. The antagonist in every disaster movie
is
nature.
There's no villain.
Nature.
Because eventually the villains are kind of like lay downs. You know, oh, you're going to make it right again? Okay, we're your friend.
I would say Elsa was the antagonist in Frozen.
Elsa needs to be on the X-Men. That would be a cool crossover.
Ice guy.
Right?
They already have Iceman.
Dude, then Ice Woman. That would be a great crossover. Imagine if Disney gets that desperate. All of a sudden, they've done all the crossovers. They bring in the X-Men. Maybe DC and Marvel do a crossover.
This will never happen.
There's no way DC and Marvel will.
Well, let's say they do, hypothetically. All right. Okay, what's next? All right, let's bring Elsa and Anna over into the MCU and see what they can do.
Let's take the Simpsons. They have Fox. That's the only reason I have Disney Plus is to watch The Simpsons.
Who can we grab from the National Geographic field?
ESPN, The Simpsons, Marvel.
Man, this is
the
like,
Muppets.
This is the
we
episode
can't forget
of
the
tangents.
Muppets.
So are we done talking about Shang-Chi?
Right.
Have we started?
We kind of did. We talked about his dad being a complicated villain
right.
in a way. And he ultimately isn't the villain. At the end, we find out it was the big bad hiding behind the dragon scales.
At the very end, it was a video game dragon, not a complex, talented actor presenting a nuanced character. It was a Kung Fu Panda monster who burst out of the seal.
That sounds pent up.
The there, Dweller right? in Darkness. I am. It's how every Marvel movie, every B-Marvel movie resorts to that at the end. Black Widow, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 3.
That's an interesting... Okay, Black Widow, how does that...
It culminates in just a CGI storm.
Well, yeah, it's a big battle blowout and all that stuff.
But
I
it's
mean,
so much more interesting when it's the hero facing the antagonist.
Well,
and
she,
that confrontation.
It was Dracoff.
I think it was Taskmaster at the end. That was the most interesting confrontation. But it doesn't have to end in a CGI mess.
They never really fought.
Even look at The Matrix. The Matrix is ridden with CGI. It needs CGI, right? But at the end, it's the confrontation between the characters that makes for the great climax.
Mr. Anderson.
Right. It's not just
Agent
a
Smith.
Mess of graphics.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything. You know? I was telling CJ that after we saw it.
Matrix?
No, about Shang-Chi. Yeah. One character shoots a really bright red light, and then the dragon shoots a really big blue light, and then they blow up, and then another red light comes out, and it's stronger than this green light, and then everything blows up again.
He ate his soul spinach.
So what?
Harry Potter all over again.
Yeah. He ate his soul spinach, like Popeye.
What about that fight scene at the beginning? In the...
Shang-Chi?
In the transit.
In the the bus.
In the bus? That was one of the greatest fight scenes in all of the MCU, I think.
Reminded me of Spider-Man.
Yeah, the train scene in Spider-Man 2.
Now, when you guys saw this movie, you said you're going to pick out the next character that we're not going to like. And you're going to know who she is right off the bat.
Don't you?
Don't you?
Yeah, kind of. I guess it's his friend.
What's
her name?
I don't know her name.
Exactly.
What did she contribute to the movie?
Comic relief and companionship.
She's not funny.
She wasn't funny. She was an irritating nuisance the whole time.
That is so sexist.
Not because she's a woman, because she's a poor character.
You, you just keep picking out women you don't like, though.
Well, you keep picking out teenage boys. We both have our target.
Tom Holland, our target is a teenager.
Right.
He's mid-20s right now, I think.
Right? Right. That's true.
So, yeah, but I mean, yeah, she was okay.
What did she do?
She brought out different plot devices.
She didn't.
It made him had a harder time getting to where he needed to get because he had to protect her while
she was getting a date.
It was a plot device.
Yeah.
That's and then she had the obvious be like, we've been friends for 10 years. When I came up, but I was like, okay, it's just so obvious.
I think she was the most expendable part. Who says that?
You know, you're friends with somebody for 10 or 15 or 20 years. Greg, we've been friends for 10 years. Did you get that? Okay, good. You know, it's like, did you, you know,
and
just
you
want to set that up for the
plot. I was a karate ninja master.
Right.
Superhero.
I didn't know about this. That was a little weak. It was a good movie.
The whole
movie was weak, you think?
I know. I just think she was a completely expendable, useless contribution to the movie.
I don't know.
If she just disappeared from every scene, you could shorten 20 minutes and it would be a better movie. And everything could happen just the same way.
Well, I mean, but he also had a very strong urge to protect her, which also nurtured his character.
He could replace her then with an object that he wants to protect.
Like what?
She could be replaced with
a broomstick,
birthstone that he wants to protect, and it would be more.
But he did have
more
that.
Pleasant.
He had the thing around his neck. Well,
that's great. Then just keep it that way and lose her. What about Wong? Let's talk about Wong.
Wong is cool. I love it when Wong shows up.
One of the best parts of the story.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he was even in there.
Yeah.
He's in there a lot.
It was so brief. It was so brief.
Dude, that's so racist.
We're not allowed to criticize. Who are we allowed to criticize, Jim? No women.
I'm just saying.
Nobody in any culture.
Just because I'm more woke than you, all right? Just, you know, just get on board.
Still don't understand what that means. I'm not on social media. I don't know. I'm lost on
woke.
Yeah,
that's kind of interesting. We have we got dogs barking. No, you're fine. And we have, what are they barking at?
They're just dogs.
What is dogs?
They're just dogs. Just a ghost.
Jay, your dog's got no tail. It's crazy. A little walking for you.
Christopher Walken.
Do you know, they got to get him. Who would he play? Who would Walken play?
He could play the Purple Man.
Who's the Purple Man?
Purple Man. Did you watch Jessica Jones?
Look, you call me Purple. I'm not Violet. I'm not Puce.
That's really good. How do they do that?
He literally has.
Crazy.
That's good.
Look, come over here. I'll do some superpowers on you. And they're going to come out purple. That's my thing. It's crazy.
That's so good.
Thank you. It's the only real talent I have, unfortunately.
That's not true.
And it was born out of me watching somebody else impersonate Christopher Walken. Jay Moore, actually.
That's not your only talent. You have great hair.
As do you.
I think you have better hair.
I wear it proudly. Hair. And you should, too.
Wear it proudly? I put it on every morning.
Like Lego hair.
I strap this bald cap on every morning over my curly red hair.
Okay, so we're saying that she didn't have anything to do with the movie. We're saying Trevor is completely replaceable.
Trevor and Awkwafina's character both should have been axed and completely extricated.
Oh, wow.
Is that the right word? Extricated?
That was harsh.
Eliminated. They serve no purpose, narratively.
And you liked Wong?
Yeah. Wong was...
Well, one of my favorite parts is when Trevor was laying there at the end of the battle.
Yeah.
And he was laying there, and that little stuffed animal
Morris.
Comes up to him.
Yeah.
And he's like, quiet, I'm acting. That was so great.
Like me.
I actually saw that coming. I said he's going to be play like he's acting.
Yeah, that was like the funniest moment in the movie. Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, Ben Kingsley's great. I love Ben Kingsley as an actor. I'm just saying the character
had
didn't
purpose,
add
though.
Anything. I disagree.
I totally
He was a guide for like 7 minutes.
Yeah, he was a little bit of a
they
device
been
to move it forward.
When he finished his...
Because the only other option they had was to follow the father, the Mandarin, quote unquote, through the path he took.
So where was that when they cross over through the...
Where were they?
Where the hell is the, like, Asian Dragonland Valley with all
the people?
It's
kind of like Wakanda.
Is it in a different universe or is it in Earth?
I guess
it's
in Earth.
Hidden on Earth?
Hidden on Earth, like Wakanda.
So if you can't get in, is it the same? Could you not get out unless you know the way out? So when the dragon got out, can it escape further out or not?
I'm sure it could.
That's a great point.
Hmm. Well, that they were keeping it behind and locked up because that's what it was going to do.
But if you zoomed in on a satellite on Earth and you took his GPS coordinates and you zoomed in, where is he?
Quite possibly.
Does it occupy landmass or is it like it like a portal into a...
Maybe it's hidden like Wakanda.
But Wakanda visited. That? Yeah, but everybody's visited Wakanda.
Not everybody.
Everybody.
Well, the Avengers, aliens, Thanos.
But it's not seen from...
Guardians.
Unless you know where to go. Okay. And you have to fly through a certain part of the shield to get in.
Okay.
Right? Maybe they have that, something like that. We'll find out. But this is the stuff you're supposed to know. I don't know this. Why are we speculating?
I should know this.
Yeah, you need to know this.
Oh.
What are we paying you for?
I don't know. How much are you paying me?
Enough to build those guns. Guys, if you're looking at this, Gray's got the guns out for this show. He's got the...
You're going to make me blush.
The sliced... Sliced and carved delts and tries and buys. Make sure you buy your tickets for
the gun show.
There you go. Little delayed, but we'll take it. So, okay, so you didn't like the fight scene at the end. What about the post credit scene?
Fight scene. It was just.
It was messy. Game. Yeah, it was messy. I'll agree with you there.
So, do the color of the rings have to do with?
Oh.
Who's using them? Or
yeah, that's
what,
cool.
What kind of power they?
Let's talk about that.
Are using?
Okay.
Why do they change? Do you know?
Is they were blue answer? When the father wore them, yeah. Or purple?
Yes.
Purple or blue?
And purple, then blue. They were purple.
Slid onto his wrist.
That's crazy. When they were purple, it reminded me of something. Purple man.
Stop saying purple.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, they were one color on his dad.
Yeah, right.
A different color when he got them.
It's almost. I don't know what that reminds... There's something that it reminds me of.
The rings of...
well, you know...
Green ring and yellow ring, kind
of
like...
None of the colors... I'll tell you... One thing... One observation now that you were talking about it, none of the colors were sinister.
Maybe it's lightsabers.
Right? Because it wasn't like it was red.
Mm. Depending on who holds it and you activates it, the color is an expression of the person wielding it.
Yeah.
The wielder, right?
So Shang-Chi had more of an orange...
I don't think lightsabers change colors, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Luke had the blue one.
I think they do. I think that's how. I think the crystal inside is like a. It's no color, and then depending on who holds it and first activates it.
No.
How do you know?
Because plenty of good guys picked up a red saber.
Yeah, but red doesn't mean bad.
But if they were holding a blue one,
I don't know.
And they picked up a red one.
Mythology.
You remember all those times that they were like, "Wait, wait, wait! The red one's mine." And they would amicably hand each other the lightsabers and continue the story.
No, no, you take the red one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You take the little
one. You have the little one.
Yeah.
We say that all the time.
We all three understand.
Here's the interesting aspect about it. And this goes to show you that, you know, the Mandarin, quote unquote, because I can't remember the guy's name.
You call him the Mandarin.
Wasn't really the big bad. Otherwise, you probably have, you know, stark blood red color coming out of the rings instead of blue, which is typically a good color.
Why is red a bad color?
Because it is.
Well, Iron Man is red.
Well, was it red? Is red? And then when Shang-Chi got it, it was blue?
Shang-Chi got it was orange, like a fiery
gold.
Orange.
They become golden when Shang-Chi possesses them.
Yeah, but blue when the Mandarin possesses
them. I don't know if there's lots of the color symbolism other than just...
I think there is. Color's got a lot of symbolism to it.
In the MCU?
Because, again, going back to actually to credit CJ, with lightsabers, good guys always had the blue or green lightsaber, right? And the bad guys always had red lightsabers.
Mace Windu's was purple because he was sort of
an
in-between character.
Right.
Yes.
His allegiance was
has a lot of symbolism.
And he said he wouldn't join if he couldn't have a purple lightsaber. he wasn't going to be in the movie.
Arguably the coolest lightsaber.
The purple one?
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, General Grievous uses blue and green, doesn't he?
Because he stole them from other Jedis. Because he's a bad guy. He's a bad guy, so he didn't...
I did not know that.
He didn't hurt the Sith. He hurt
I thought him. In the novels, hurt though. Him. I've read some of the Star Wars novels, and I thought in the novels they mentioned how the crystals, when you build it, the crystal activates to a certain color.
It's like a mood ring, right?
Well, then it's a virgin lightsaber, and you activate it. It assumes the color of the wielder.
Yeah. It's not blood red yet because it hasn't been pumped.
Nice.
Its hymen is still intact.
That was great. That deserves a sound effect.
It's more flesh colored.
man.
Come on. Yeah, let's give it all of them. Why not?
Speaking of Prima Nocta.
Prima Nocta. Jim would reinstitute Prima Nocta.
I have nightmares of that tonight. Ringing in my ear.
What the hell are we talking about?
Absolutely, the colors of the rings. I think because we've been programmed to think that blue is good, red is bad. You know, there was no red. It was just orange for Shang-Chi and blue for his dad.
I think a strong comment about that.
Okay.
In the entire Spider-Man story. In the whole Spider-Man storyline in the comics, red is the color of good and green is the color of evil.
In the entire storyline?
So back to Star Wars.
Across the decades, Spider-Man, red is good. Mary Jane has red hair. Spider-Man is red. There's a lot of red symbolism that goes on. And green almost Goblin. All of his villains are green. Yeah. Doc Ock, Scorpion, Vulture, Sandman, the Goblins.
Maybe it's supposed to make
Mysterio.
Them less of a threat.
So in that example, green is sinister.
See, back to Star Wars, though, the TIE fighters shoot green, and all the other ships, I forget the name of them.
X-Wings and all those things.
Yeah, they shoot red.
Hmm.
So it's like opposite the color they're shooting compared
maybe I just don't know what I'm talking about, right?
No, I mean, there is strong color symbolism in Star Wars, for sure.
It's the first thing I noticed when we were watching the movie a couple weeks ago. It's like, hey, look, the rings change colors. It was the first thing I noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. And, you know, as soon as he got a hold of them, it was a different color. Mm-hmm. That was obvious.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like in Star Wars 2, after when Yoda teaches Luke is using a blue lightsaber.
Right.
After his hand is cut off by Vader and he loses that, he comes back with the green lightsaber once he starts adopting Yoda's teachings.
Yeah.
The green being synonymous with green Yoda.
Never even made that connection.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. But I think in this scenario, if he had red rings, you know, especially things that glow.
Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Yellow is fear. Green is willpower. That's the Green Lanterns and the Yellow Lanterns. That's what that means. You know, another thing.
Ready?
In the comics, Green Lantern has a villain named... I don't know if his name is the Yellow Man or Yellow Guardian or something like that. But literally, he's just yellow and he can shoot yellow projectiles. And yellow is like kryptonite to Green Lantern.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like literally the color yellow. Hmm.
So like, they kind of brand the colors around the stories.
Just the color.
But I mean, for a mass audience, like the people who are watching these movies, red would obviously, I would think, indicate, you know, villain. Blue is kind of cool. It's, you know, nebulous in a way. And I think he was just a guy who was misunderstood. He thought his wife was on the other side of the gate. That was the only plot hole that I could see, though. I'm like, dude, you've been around for 1,000 years. You're going to be duped. You haven't heard about this. Your wife.
You haven't heard of the Dweller in Darkness, man?
Your wife.
I agree.
Never told you about this? Really?
Right.
Hey, just so you know, if I ever die, this thing might actually impersonate my voice and tempt you to come let it out.
How would she know?
Because she lived there. She was one of the elders.
Weak.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a plot.
Maybe at that point, the Dweller in Darkness was so dormant that there was no danger or suspicion.
When you're with somebody for a long time and you establish a family and you talk about things. Hey, dude, when we were kids, we fought off this demon dweller thing and we put it behind these scales. So, you know, and apparently those rings you have are the only things that can break down that door. So just letting you know. You may want to file that in the back of your mind before, you know, something may happen to me, and because this thing will do anything to get out. So I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it embodies my voice and starts tempting you. Just saying, God forbid, I depart the earth before you do, okay? And you're kind of into me, and I get it. And all of a sudden, just...
But I'm immortal, so I will probably outlive you.
Yeah, but you know, sometime I probably will get killed, and I'm not saying anything, but these things do happen, and we don't have any life insurance to speak of, just your business there, what you've been doing for the past 900 years. We got these children and everything now, where everything's pretty good. But just in case that inevitability may happen, or that little event happens, just ignore that voice because it's not me. All right, I'm probably good and dead. She didn't have that conversation.
I'm
with
too
him.
Tired. Will you just tell me this again in the morning? I'm gonna pass out. I've had a long day.
Can you just turn over so I can do my thing?
It's true, though.
I was going to say something, and I forgot.
It's a weak plot point there, right?
I don't know about that.
It's really weak. I actually had that revelation the night we got back from seeing it. I'm like, wait a minute.
Because
she never told him about this
thing. Everyone else is also saying the same thing. It's not mom. Mom's dead. It's not your wife. Your wife's dead. Yeah. Quit listening. We have this thing trapped behind us.
She didn't tell you about this? Are you freaking serious?
Right.
Yeah. Nope. She's behind there. Didn't she tell you that this thing probably would do this thing? Yeah. Then you're 1,000 freaking years old. Are you serious, dude?
Right.
Are you still this naive?
Short-term memory loss. Only remembers the past 100 years.
Maybe he's got Alzheimer's.
Didn't you already say that?
No. Did I? Who are you?
George. What if he has Alzheimer's?
How many other things can we make fun of?
What the hell was I going to say? I had some really great point I wanted to share in here.
That is
about.
A weak. That's a good discovery too. Weak plot point there.
But Awkwafina and Trevor are essential to the story.
Trevor was.
But the motivation of the greatest character in the movie—that's poor.
Totally.
Oh my god.
Very weak.
I can't disagree.
Very weak.
I disagree.
Oh come on. You don't think in any of their hangs with his wife, dating her, courting her, she didn't say, dude.
How would you? It's unknowable. I don't think that's relevant. Of course. I don't think it's relevant. I don't think it's trying to be realistic. It's trying to be like, if this character was in this situation, he would react exactly this way. I think it was written consistently.
He acted like it. He didn't even know about it. It's a pretty major part of the freaking her background.
If he's 1,000 years old and she was the greatest thing to happen to him in 1,000 years, you would think that he would have nothing to lose. He thinks he can't die. So why wouldn't he?
I don't know.
What does it mean to him? At that point, it's all relative. He thinks he'll live forever.
Yeah, but he'll do anything. I understand that. But it's like, dude, you're going to unleash hell on earth if you let this thing out. We've warned you. They even say in the freaking plot line, the 10 rings are the only things that can let this thing out. He can actually unleash the beast.
Hmm.
You don't think that she's going to just so you know, those bracelets you wear, those are the only things that can let that thing out. Don't do it. Well, no matter what happens to me, don't do it.
Could break it out.
See, another thing I hated about Awkwafina. Is that her name?
Another thing.
I think it's Tassani. Yes. Yes. I don't know.
Might be Kirkland.
I don't remember exactly what happened.
It's probably not.
But didn't
her real
she
name.
Shoot the final arrow?
She did. After only a day of training.
It was 4 hours of training.
Yeah, there was no nighttime.
Yeah.
And wasn't it her arrow that
pierced the
stopped
dragon?
It or something?
That's right.
What?
There's no way in hell.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Screw this movie. Move on.
No, okay. I like the kung fu.
Characters established.
The dragon should have been released in the middle of the movie and been the threat from then for the next hour.
Yeah. But instead of 15 minutes.
Unleashed, oh no, the world's going to end. And then 6 minutes later, oh, it's this useless character who doesn't know how to do anything.
And also the other aspect.
Finished it for us.
The guys who are on the Ten Rings side, oh, we're not going to fight with you. And then one of their guys gets eaten. They're like, all right, let's fight together.
I thought that was funny. The guy with the
laser hand. Yeah, only because their weapons were useless.
I understand that. But
the guy
it's
with
like,
the laser hand was.
When you have it pounded.
He was funny.
Yeah.
He's like Taserface.
Yeah.
Guardians.
When you have it pounded in your head over and over and over again that these guys, it's going to take some time for you to be convinced otherwise. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, he picks up one of the freaking scales and his arm turns to a dragon killer.
Well, he changes it like a drill bit.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Really, dude?
I mean,
you know how much time it takes me to find the right damn drill bit on a freaking cordless drill?
Right.
And I got to go to Home Depot and get the adapter.
And how many don't fit with the same receptacle thing?
It just happens.
What if he tried to put it in and he was like, it's a square end, and I've only got a circle. It's a hex head. Yeah. And I've only got a round arm.
Damn it!
Circle.
Is this a 3/16? Gosh!
Is there a Home Depot near here? I gotta go to Home Depot.
Is there an extension bed I can fit between this and the
dragon.
Scale?
Hold off. Go take a coffee break. I'll be right back. I gotta run to Home Depot and get an adapter. All
it's
right?
a DeWalt scale, and I have a Milwaukee shoulder.
Right. I didn't want Ryobi.
Oh man. So I think we just tore this movie apart.
Where did he put the laser, by the way? Like, did he set it down somewhere? Wouldn't it have sliced through whatever he set it on?
Are we pretty angry about this movie? Can we agree on that?
No, we can just find anything happy to criticize. About
it. What's that?
I walked in happy about it. I like the kung fu.
It's enjoyable if you walk in with minimal Marvel expectations.
It's just a fun roller coaster ride.
Yeah, but it devolved into like Stephen King's The Mist near the end.
Oh.
To anyone who's read The Mist. It's extremely, totally invokes The Mist.
It's like the movie was kind of like a shart.
Like a what?
A shart.
Define that word.
A shit fart. You know, a shart. Where you want to fart, but you end up shitting. You've never done that.
You push too much out.
Yeah. And you have some jet blast in your underwear. That's never happened to you before?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, everyone sharted.
Yeah.
It's fine.
A shart.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So it's kind of like I want a nice satisfying fart, but it came out as, you know, solid mass.
Is there another way you
That's
could,
a good way to describe this movie.
What are you saying, that it tried to come out cleanly? And
yeah. I want a nice good fart.
And it
one that I'm proud
fell
of.
Apart and exploded?
One that, you know, when it kind of wafts up to my nose, it has heat to it. All right? Not something that I go, oh, crap, now I got to go to the bathroom and change my underwear and wipe.
Right.
And take a shower.
Right.
Look at this. I had no idea you were such a poet.
That's what it felt like. A shart. That's the perfect way to describe it. No?
I thought I had a vast vocabulary, but
shart?
Jim's blowing me away.
That's what the movie was like.
Oh my god.
Wow.
So you mm-hmm. give it you, oh. oh really? Oh my god.
So I haven't seen Snake Eyes, but I thought they would be similar.
Yeah.
It's a, is like it, is the, it for any reason besides the main characters being both Asian?
So racist.
That's an observation.
I like all
racist.
The Bruce Lee.
I feel like Shang-Chi
movies.
And Snake Eyes have so much in common. Yeah. They're both Asian. Their movies came out at the same time.
I must just like the hand-to-hand combat rather than CGI blasters.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about.
Well, I agree.
Okay.
CGI is weak.
It was an okay movie. I mean, I would go see it again just for the fun of it. It was fun. Black Widow
it's
was
not
fun.
Remarkable. Yeah, but it falls in with Black Widow as being unremarkable. I'd rather watch Black
Panther.
Than Black Widow
I mean, Black Panther isn't a, you know, I think a canon type of movie, but it's a fun movie to watch. There's a lot of fun characterizations and character development in it. I mean, the same thing with this
They're
movie.
Just formulaic.
Yeah.
Were either of the three of us surprised at anything that happened in the movie?
Well, I mean, Black Panther really made you feel like he was down for the count in the middle there. And then, you know, he comes back and he's like, I'm not dead. And then he's got to take on his cousin.
Did you really think he died?
No, of course not.
I think we knew he was already going to be in the next movie.
Yeah.
It's also his movie. He probably wasn't killed in the first 30 minutes.
Dude, I will say about this past episode of What If, the eighth episode of What If. Did we talk about that?
After the Ultron episode?
It was the Ultron episode. No, this is the final one.
We did talk about that.
I got to say that Chadwick's voice, man, you could tell he was battling. It sounds weak.
What was his condition?
Oh.
He had cancer. He'd been fighting cancer for years.
And it affected his voice?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of cancer?
Voice. I'm not sure what kind. But I mean, because of all the treatments that get done, it just, you know, I had a friend of mine who was a voice actor, and I did a lot of work for him back in the early millennium when I lived in Vegas. And he, I'm not sure what kind of the cancer he had, but he had a big baritone, you know, gargle with razor blades type of voice that you heard on Discovery Channel and all these different documentaries and TV shows and radio stations.
I mean, just get weak altogether. So
yeah, he just, it's like he told nobody that he had it, and all of a sudden I get a dry voice file from him, and I'm going, oh my gosh, dude, what, are you sick or something? He's like, oh yeah, I got a little head cold. And a month later, he was dead.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could tell Chadwick had a weak voice. But he, I'm telling you, the dude freaking grinded till the end. Good for him.
Is that the one with the Watcher? Is that what that episode
is? Yeah, they
was?
All have the Watcher.
Yeah. Yep.
Are they all do?
Yeah. Yep.
And What If?
He's the host of What If. Mm. Like Rod Serling was of the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. That we should talk about that for next episode.
The Twilight Zone?
No, the What If, the last of the What If series, because they all culminated and coagulated.
Right. It would be interesting to see a second season revolving around,
I think, all these
Ultron
things
crossing through his siege, like, of the multiverse.
For you, I would imagine that the multiverse concept is kind of like, okay, yeah, I'm used to it. I get it. It's fun. For us, CJ and I
can even fathom,
right. It's kind of like, okay,
multiverse is,
am I going to like this or not?
Like,
am I going to be engaged enough to understand it and believe it, really?
Okay, there are mutants. Okay, there are aliens. Okay, there's a multiverse. Okay, there's time travel. They all just,
well, if this world
together
doesn't work out, screw it. Let's go to the next world. Oh, that one didn't work out. Okay, we'll go to the next one.
That's what you see in shows like Rick and Morty, which are totally different. But that's, you abandon one universe when the consequences get too high, and you replace yourself in the next universe.
So are you ever on the edge of your seat?
Yeah, because if you're a good storyteller, you can use that. You can keep consequences, even though consequences can go to a dead end and they can just jump to another multiverse. Because if you really care about the characters in that universe, in like individually, then it matters what happens to that universe.
Hmm.
You know? Like, if you can cross over to the next universe, but in that universe, we don't know each other, then it's, I'm going to value our friendship here, and the audience will too, because if I go to that universe, I can escape with my life, but at the expense of the loss of friendship, and you there on that side, your counterpart, and we don't know each other.
It's a brilliant way.
Individual things that can be lost.
It's a brilliant way for Marvel to pull off the blend, the transition into getting everybody geared up for the next phase, I think. That's what all those shows
are. How many movies is it going to take to gear us up?
That's what I mean, is that, you know,
three shows.
You've got WandaVision that touches on the whole multiverse thing with her Scarlet Witch, right? But for me, it's okay, now I'm starting to understand what this whole multiverse and the consequences of it and how it kind of plays into the plot lines and all that stuff.
This is all foreplay for the multiverse.
Right, right.
I see.
Yeah. November.
Yeah. Foreplay. Eternals. You said foreplay.
No, December.
Spider-Man. Spider-Man. I did use foreplay.
Yeah, foreplay.
In exactly that way.
No attachment, foreplay. Right? Can't have any attachment. Who says that? Yoda? What's he saying?
Foreplay.
Oh,
let's warm you up.
The Buddhists.
Little,
Buddhists say that.
Buddhists.
That's Buddhism and Yoda as well.
Multiversal.
We should just keep that foreplay all the whole time.
Yeah. I feel so much more relaxed.
Yeah.
Okay,
mind if I take this off?
Oh gosh,
it's a little hot in here.
Let's wrap it up, guys. Right. Check us out. Good,
Jim, you started.
Good note to end on.
You started this.
Check us out at capesandhammers.com and follow along and listen. Let us know your thoughts. I mean, everything that we're talking about, reach out to us. We should probably get an Instagram and TikTok going so other people could chime in about various things, because we talked about a lot in this episode. We uncovered a lot, had a lot of revelations. Go back and listen again and see if there's anything that sticks out, and reach out to us, capesandhammers.com. Guys, once again, thank you for joining us and joining me on this crusade. It's a fun podcast. Great conversation.
Excellent.
Godspeed.
Godspeed.
Excelsior.
Excelsior.
I don't like that.
CJ uses that word a lot, but he doesn't like it.